I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. And today we'll be in chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. If you did not get a listening guide on the way in, you can slip your hand up and Chris will get you one of those from the back. We're continuing our series here, hearing from the Sermon on the Mount. It's an actual sermon preached by Jesus where he taught us plainly to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, we live in a world that's full of options about things to seek first. You know, what are you going to watch? You know, what do you want to eat? What are you going to live for? We have no shortage of options when it comes to that. And with our ability to choose comes our need for guidance. And Jesus Christ came to bring the kingdom of God near to us, not only so that we could enter into God's kingdom, but also so that we could live for God's kingdom right now. So with that in mind, hopefully you're there, and I'll begin reading the Word of God. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Amen. This is God's word. Let's ask him in prayer for his help this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you that it tells us exactly what we need to hear. We don't need to walk through life or wander through it saying, I wonder what God would want me to know. We can open your word and read exactly what you want us to know, Father. Lord, it is good for us to just think upon how for all eternity we are going to be praising your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again and has given us life in himself. So, Father, we ask for your help in this time, that you would help us to set our minds upon your word, to hide it in our hearts, Father, and to become more like Jesus in how we live and in how we trust in you, Father, that your kingdom may come more in our lives and the lives of those around us. So we ask for your help, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, this is a terrific passage of Scripture. It's a pretty well-known passage. Obviously, everybody loves to run to it because it talks about not being anxious. It talks about not worrying over things in this life. And I think Jesus is teaching us in this text that we need to have a faith that is consistent with the kingdom of God. Instead of being anxious and filled with worry, we need to be filled with faith that is consistent with the kingdom of God. And here in the Sermon on the Mount, in this part of the passage in particular, Jesus is preaching both about the reality of God's care and the nearness of God's kingdom, saying, look, God has promised he will provide everything you need for physical life. We can trust him, and we know that Jesus is our only Savior and our only Lord. We have entered into the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus, and so that's where our life is truly found. We know that this morning. So if we were to seek the kingdom of God a second, that would be inconsistent both with God's care of us and also with the reality that God's kingdom has come. So if last week we talked, we dealt with our loyalty to the kingdom of God, saying, where's your treasure going to be? What are you going to love? And what kind of things are you going to lay up for yourselves? This week, Jesus is addressing our faith. What will we believe about God's care of us? What are we going to do? Where's his kingdom going to fall in order of priority in our lives? This passage is not about how to get provision. This passage is about how to stay faithful to seek what truly matters for all of eternity. So in this passage, 5 times, Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, because life is more than food and clothing. God knows what you need, and he promises to provide it. And as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So Jesus is saying, that's what you need the most. What I need the most this morning is to seek first the kingdom of God, having a faith that's consistent with what we know to be true. So it's kind of a lot like the relationship between a football player and his coach, and I thought of none other than I would say our very own DeShone Kizer, but he's been traded away. The Browns are busy in the offseason. But it's kind of like the relationship between a football player and his coach, right? There has to be trust on the part of the player when he steps out and takes the field, right? The coach is the one typically who calls the plays. Maybe you got Hugh Jackson here telling DeShone Kizer what play he needs to run, and he says, this is what you need to do. But if the player doesn't trust the coach, and he runs out on the field and starts worrying, well, I need to do this instead. I need to run here first, and I don't know if this guy's going to block his man. And he ends up running a play of his own design. We see a lot of that as Cleveland Browns fans, plays of people's own design, right? And usually what it ends up in is a sack or a fumble of the football. And, back on the sideline, the coach is going to walk over and say, what was that? You know, I know that wasn't the play I called, and the player's going to say, well, you know, I just thought I was trying to do this first, and the coach is like, uh-huh, yeah, and that's why you fumbled the ball or you didn't end up scoring a touchdown, right? So the coach has to explain again to his player, look, that's not how the play works. You have to do the first things first. So when I give you the play from the sideline to the huddle to you walking out to the snap of the football to the point where you're dropping back and you make the pass, you need to trust the play from beginning to end in order to get points on the scoreboard. That's just how the play works. And similarly, when it comes to living for the kingdom of God, Jesus says we need to have a consistent faith that seeks God first, trusts him to provide the rest in order to get points on the board, if you will, or in order to advance the kingdom of God in our lives. So we need a consistent faith. When we head out onto the field of life, if we mistrust God with our needs, we start focusing on the wrong things first, and you can understand how the rest goes. We fumble the ball, we fail to seek God's kingdom first, we get turnovers all along the way. So our need in this passage, what we need this morning is greater faith. We say, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus is preaching to his flock, if you will, a people of little faith, just like you and me, and he tells us the truth of God's care and the reality of God's kingdom. And he's teaching us how to have a consistent faith rather than a little faith. So, look at verse 25 with me and hear what Jesus says. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? First truth I think we see from this text is that faith believes that life is more than food and clothing. That's what kingdom faith, following Jesus Christ, kingdom faith believes that life is more than food or clothing. Perhaps as you're trying to, tell your family members or tell people who don't yet follow Jesus, you're trying to talk to them about God, or maybe you're trying to talk to your coworkers a little bit, you might have gotten this dismissive response where people just say to you, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, right? They're like, get your head out of the clouds and just come back down here on planet Earth where we live. But in reality, being a follower of Christ, it's all about being heavenly minded. You can't be heavenly minded enough as a follower of Jesus. You don't need to just focus on things of the earth. We need to focus on what is to come. That's the prayer. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to be people who are always thinking about the will of God. And if you listen to this passage, what we've just read, there's nothing in there that tells us to set our minds on things of the earth. In fact, in verse 25, Jesus says, is not life more than food and clothing? The answer is yes. Life is so much more than the food that we eat and the clothing that we wear. God, we need these things. You know, it's easy to just be like, yeah, Jesus, that's easy for you to say. You turn five loaves of bread into food for 5,000 people, you know, two fish. I was at the seafood restaurant. I'd have to walk over to the table and say, I'm sorry, what you ordered, we're out of, you know. But Jesus could take two fish and multiply it into food for, you know, thousands of people. But we need food and clothing. But what Jesus is opening our eyes to see is that God is providing those things. God's providing the food and clothing that we need, and then he leads us to provide those things for people who don't have them. So God's given us instruction about the practical things needed for life, but he's trying to say, look, while food and clothing is necessary for your life, life is more than food and clothing. You can't stop there. Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 14, he said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit. He writes more, for those who have put their trust in Jesus, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, so first he's just saying, if you've been raised with Christ, if you truly have put your trust in Jesus, and you've been raised to new life in him, you should be able to answer that question, have I or have I not been raised with Christ? He says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Why, Paul? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Life is more than food and clothing as a follower of Jesus, because your life is hidden with Christ in God. We've died with Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. Our sin has been paid for. We have been raised to new life through faith in him. Our life is no longer found in the abundance of our possessions or in just having enough food or having enough clothing. If we're following Jesus, our life is with Christ in God. We need to set our minds on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. So what does that look like for us in everyday life? Well, I'm glad you asked. From Paul, you get more examples. In the book of Philippians, he's writing from prison, and he's writing to these believers. And in chapter 4 of that letter, he says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. He says, I know how to not have enough, and I know how to have plenty. In any and every circumstance, Paul said, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We say, oh yeah, I know that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, this is not about doing whatever we want through Christ who strengthens us. This is not about winning a football game through Christ who strengthens you. It's just not what this text is about. This is about living life the way God wants through Christ who strengthens us. So when we have plenty or when we're lacking food and clothing, it takes faith to believe that life is more than food and clothing. When we have plenty, it takes faith again to believe that life is more than food and clothing and still seek first the kingdom of God. It takes faith to not worship the gifts or to think that life is about the gifts God gives us. But it takes faith to instead worship the giver. And Jesus is saying, look, don't be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. Don't let your thoughts be only on things of this life that you don't think anything about the kingdom life in obedience to the will of God. It's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't go down to the metro parks. Say you went down to Brookside Park or something like that. You wouldn't go down to the park and stand in the middle of a forest and stare at a single tree and say, wow, look at this single tree right here. This is the only tree to this entire park. If you did that, someone's probably going to call the cops on you and be like, there's somebody standing out in the park. I don't know what they're doing. They're just staring at one tree out in the woods, right? When you go to the metro parks, you step back and you take in the beauty of it all. You're like, there is a whole forest out here. You don't miss the forest for the tree. And similarly, in our lives, we cannot get caught staring only at things needed for the body. For practical life, we need to set our minds on things that are above. Being anxious over the things needed for physical life is to fail to see that there's more to life. So you're just asking yourself this morning, where do I need to take a step back and see that there's more to life than what I need in the practical things? God has his will for me to live and follow. So faith believes that life is more. I just ask you firstly, have you taken hold of that which is truly life? We have to ask ourselves, have I been raised with Christ? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. With the hunger that you have found in life, the fact that nothing can fill the void, that what's here today is gone tomorrow, that everything here doesn't last, in your hunger and in your thirst, have you found in Jesus Christ the answer that you're looking for? And Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. You need to ask yourself, am I going to be raised up on the last day? Has Christ become my Savior? Have I understood that he died for my sins, that he rose so I could be raised to new life? You can be saved by faith. And in fact, you can only be saved by faith. And you need to put your trust in Jesus, because he's coming back soon at any moment. So take hold of that which is truly life. But secondly, as believers, saying, okay, I have been raised with Christ. So having been saved, I should have the same concern for living for God's will. You know, we shouldn't just say, good, I've been forgiven of my sin, back to my regularly scheduled programming. No, look, don't go back to playing in the mud of all the old pursuits that God had no part of. God has saved us to transform everything about our lives, our work, our family, the way that we pursue every goal that we have. Jesus is telling us you're no longer going to find ultimate joy in the things you have. Your stuff is never going to make you completely happy. So he's lifting our sights to say, find satisfaction in the glory of God, not in the glory of man and in the things of this earth. So it takes faith to subject all that we have every day to this reality. So I think it's applying this to our lives and saying, when I have plenty, will I still worship God? When I don't have plenty, will I still worship him in the middle of that? Will I believe that treasuring Jesus is the abundant life and not treasuring things of the earth? And so we can have peace in the difficulties of physical needs and say, I know that life is more than what I'm lacking right now. God's work is not hindered in my life because of what I do not have. The kingdom is still coming. I'm still pursuing his kingdom in my life. And when I have plenty, it gives us purpose. We don't forget God when we get the provision. We say, Lord, please provide for me in this. And then as soon as he has it, we're like, good, I can get back to doing whatever I'm doing. It takes faith to thank the Lord for that and to use what he's given you in accordance with his will. So what needs reordering in your worship? If you're trying to think about how to apply this, what needs reordering in your worship? What's crowding God out or taking your attention off of living for God's glory? I thought about it this week and saying, what am I giving too much concern to? What needs to be brought lower in my the concern that I give it, and what needs to be brought higher in what I need to show more concern over? If people saw everything about the way that you lived your life, would they know that life is more than food and clothing? I think that's a good litmus test. If people watched your life, would they know that life is more than food and clothing? Secondly, Jesus teaches, faith not only believes that, but faith trusts that God will provide what we need. Faith trusts that God will provide what we need. Look at verse 26 in this passage. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It's pretty good point there. I've never seen birds farming, never seen them sowing seed or anything like that. I'm like, I just watch them dive bomb and out comes a worm. I'm like, that's amazing. Wish I could do it that easily. He says, look at the birds of the air, you know, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus says, look, remember, you are of more value to God than the birds, and God is taking care of the birds. He's surely going to take care of you. In fact, by being anxious, it does the opposite. Worrying over something never gives the answer you're looking for. Worrying never gives the control that it promises to give. You just find yourself continuing to worry. And it actually, instead of extending your life, stress will actually end your life. It shortens your life. So none of us can live longer by worrying. So by contrast, when we look at the natural order of creation, when we stop worrying and we start looking at God, we see both his hand and his love over everything in our lives. Faith sees the evidence of God's hand to provide what we need. In the Psalms, it's written in Psalm 104, it says, "The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God." God sustains the world and everything in it, the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. It's just mind-blowing to consider the fact that God is holding the whole world together. If you go down to the zoo, everything is singing the praise of God, all the animals, all of creation. And we say, man, God is holding all of this together out in the wild. God is feeding everything. You know, and that's just mind-blowing to ponder the fact that God has everything under his control. We struggle to really believe that. You know, I can't brush my teeth and shave at the same time. If I tried that, it'd end up like a murder scene in there. I can't multitask more than one thing at a time. It's so hard for us to believe God has got it. He is so much bigger than we are, and he is able to provide so much more than we can. It's like I thought about, you know, having a fish tank too. You know, I think about how often we've ever kept fish. It's so easy to forget to feed your fish. And you're like, oh man, I hope, you know, Goldie in there is not floating at the top of the tank, you know. We're so forgetful. But God never forgets. He never forgets. He's caring for all of his creation. But faith doesn't stop there and say, okay, God's hand is in control of all things. Faith sees more so that God has love for all that he's made. Faith understands, if God is providing for the birds outside my window, and how much more valuable am I to God than the birds outside my window, surely he will provide for me the things I need for this life. He loves me, and faith trusts that God will provide. It's a double guarantee in the fact that God is in control of all things, and God loves us in all things and wants to provide what we truly need. Now, that's not in order for us to make demands. That's in order for you and I to have faith. God's saying, I want to set you free from worry because it's no good for living in my kingdom. And it doesn't line up with who I am, God says. You worrying does not reflect the fact that I am in control of everything. If people look at our lives, would they be able to tell that God is in control of everything and that God loves us? You know, like think of the book of Genesis and remember the story of Joseph. Joseph tells the dream that he has, that God is going to do great things through him, and his brothers get upset, and they sell him into slavery. They throw him in a ditch, and then they sell him into slavery, and when he did nothing wrong, and he said, why did that happen to Joseph? Well, God shows it was so Joseph could eventually become like Pharaoh in Egypt. I'm giving you the abbreviated version here. Why was there a famine upon Jacob and his sons in Canaan? Why were they languishing away without food? Well, we learn from the book of Genesis, it was so they could go to Egypt and seek Joseph, their brother, for food, who going there, they could be reconciled to him, and not only be reconciled to their brother, but now be reconciled to one who is the king, and they have a land to dwell in. And Jesus is saying, as you look at this text, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, God knows what you need, and God knows what he's doing. So what then in the world could we worry about when it comes to our practical needs? Why would we seek those things first rather than the kingdom of God? Our problem is, though, we want to see it rather than believe it. We want to see it happen. We want to see it all worked out rather than have faith, which trusts that God's going to work it out. And Jesus is saying, look, the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, they neither toil nor spin, but they're dressed better than King Solomon was. So birds of the air and lilies of the field and my life in Cleveland, what does it all have in common? God's going to provide sufficiently for all of it. So this means that we need to work, but we don't need to worry about the things needed for life. You know, I'll give you one more illustration. You think about being a parent. Some of you are like, I'm trying to not think about being a parent right now. I'm trying to breathe for a minute. You got my kids over in the kids area. This is great. You know, I don't have to think about it for a second, but just think about being a parent. And when your kids are babies and you take care of them, they don't yet realize that you're doing everything for them. And that's okay because you love your child. You know, you love providing for them. You know, then they get a little bit older and they cry when you don't give them another cookie. And they're like, my life is over because you won't give me another cookie. And you're like, oh, stop it. Your life is not over because you're not getting another cookie. I'm actually keeping your teeth in your mouth because I don't have money to pay for fillings on baby teeth that are going to fall out, right? So, but as your kids get older, it's going to become a problem if they don't understand that you love them and you're going to provide for them. They might be worrying over having enough stuff, or they might go searching for stuff in the wrong place. And, you know, your child might say, look, I was afraid I wouldn't have enough, or I wanted to find security in this. Maybe not put it this way, but you know what I'm saying. I wanted to find purpose in this or that. It's going to create a disconnect between the parent and the child. And as a parent, you're going to have to go to your child and say, I will take care of you. You need to trust me and not worry about the things you're going to need. You don't have to go around my back. If you need it, I'll provide it. You don't have to have fear. And basically, it's like that with us and God. He's going to provide what we need, but oftentimes our faith is so little. We doubt, we chase after other things before we chase after God. We don't think about what God has said in his word, that he's promised to take care of us. And we can observe God's control and God's love with our eyes, but we need to live in light of God's promise. Rather than running to God, we need to run to God rather than run to worry. And the end goal is, okay, not how am I going to get food or get clothing, but it's how am I going to have faith going through the trial. So faith trusts that God's going to provide. And applying this to our lives, I just ask first, are you letting God's wisdom be your perfect peace? Are you letting God's wisdom be your perfect peace? Are you working for the things that you need in your life, but are you not worrying? Are you being diligent to do all that is responsible to take care of yourself while at the same time trusting that God will provide what you need? We need to have that balance. As you're seeking to live for Jesus, you should also be not worrying as you follow him. And listen, I think where the rubber meets the road on this is some of us are running from our needs. We see all that's in our life. We see all that needs provided, but we don't see how God's going to provide. We don't have faith to trust that God's going to take care of us. And so we just want to ignore life, or we want to ignore living responsibly because all we see, we don't see God's care, and we just want to run from our needs. But some of us, all we see is our needs, but we're not seeing God's promised help. And rather than running from our needs, we're drowning in them, because that's the only thing that we're looking at. It's like we're drowning in the weight of all our burdens. We're worrying until the point that we see perfect resolution to all our needs. We have no peace in the in-between. And a lot of life is lived in the in-between. And God's saying, in the midst of all the needs you have, as you look at those, you need to also look that God has promised his help for every need that you have. Worry is not God's will for our lives. What we need for physical life and spiritual life, God provides through faith in Jesus. So we need to learn to discipline ourselves, to cast our cares on God. Oftentimes, God is not going to remove care from your life. He wants you to learn in your life to cast your cares on him. This is not to be living in ignorance. It's to be responsible to do everything we need to do, but to trust God with the result. So we can say, you know, what would my life look like if I trusted God and his provision more? What would my life look like if I spent less time worrying and more time trusting in God to provide for me? Have a big faith in the gospel and have a big faith in God's provision for you, and that will help you look beyond the things that are temporary to things that are eternal. And saying, you know, how would that change how I use my time, my money, and my efforts? A lot of times we are holding on to those things so tightly because we're worried we won't have enough of them. But if you look beyond what you have to the one who will give you what you need, you will be able to use what you have more for the kingdom of God. So faith believes that life is more. Faith trusts that God will provide. And thirdly, Jesus says, faith seeks first the kingdom of God. Look at verse 31. It's kind of the conclusion of where Jesus is taking all this. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Here's the answer. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Having faith puts a different order to things in your life. Having faith puts a different priority in what we seek first. Because if we seek worldly provision first, it shows unbelief that God's going to give us what we need. And if we put God's kingdom last, it shows that it's not as important to us as God has called it to be in our lives. So in effect, when we do that, when we say, God, I'm going to chase after other things and then you come last, we're telling God, I don't need you, I need this instead, or I doubt that you're going to take care of this unless I take care of it first, or I don't want to live for treasure in heaven. And it's an attempt to let something else run our lives. But faith understands, whatever I seek first is what becomes my master. So if I put something else in place of God and his kingdom, then that's what I've put my faith in. And which is crazy, because as we seek God first, he said, I'll never lead you wrong. So the way to having not a little faith, but a great faith, is to trust and obey and to seek first God's kingdom. To start putting God first before other things. And then he will add whatever we need after that. So faith makes the seeking of God's kingdom priority number one, and it makes everything else secondary to that. This is not about how to get provision for all that you want. This is about how to be devoted to God so that you'd seek him first before you seek other things. So which kingdom are you feeding? God's doing everything we need to seek first his kingdom. And Jesus is saying to us, don't fear, but trust him and seek the kingdom of God. And his righteousness means his will. This means, what is God's will for my life? And he says, all those things will be added to you. So I ask you this morning, what do your priorities reveal about what you seek first? What needs to change about those priorities? If Christ has come to take the throne of our lives, that means putting everything else underneath him. So Jesus has to become your greatest trust. He's our only Savior. Jesus has to become our greatest love as we apply this. And Jesus has to become our only Lord. So as you reflect on seeking first the kingdom of God, is there anything in your life that you're putting above Jesus? Is there something that you're not letting go of? Or is there something that you are pursuing in place of Jesus? You're like, yeah, Jesus, he's off there in the corner. He's in my back pocket. And saying, look, whatever you seek first is what your master will be. And we need to wrestle with ourselves and to be sure that we're surrendering ourselves to the lordship of Christ. So perhaps it's a lifestyle that doesn't have much to do with God's glory. You say, you know what? I'm trying to keep ownership of everything in my life, but God wants to continually, he wants to own more and more of it. He wants me to live more and more for his glory. Maybe it's a sinful habit that says, I'm trying to hold on to this sin, and it's something I need to let go of because I need to seek first the kingdom of God. Maybe it's, a lot of times we just seek desire for approval. You say, I want to be well thought of by the people in my life, by friends, by family, by coworkers, and we seek the approval of other people before we seek the approval of God. Saying, look, those are terrible things to seek first. If you seek Jesus first, you will get the rest of all that you need. So think about your priorities and the ordering of them and what it reveals about what you're seeking, but also think about, if you change your priorities and what you seek first, how will it benefit those who are around you? As your priorities change, how will it benefit those around you? If you're saying, I want to be a better parent, I want to be a better spouse, I want to be better in my work or a witness for Christ, saying, how will, if I change my priorities and who I seek first and what I seek first, how will that benefit those in my life? As you seek first the kingdom of God, you'll be able to pull others or drag others in God's direction too. And people are testing you. They are looking at your life, even if they're not asking you about your life. And they're saying, you know what, this person, I know they seek Jesus first, and it looks like he's taking care of everything else in their life. Maybe if I seek Jesus first, maybe if I stop putting Jesus last and I put him first, whoever I know, maybe that is the answer that I'm looking for. So people learn to not put Jesus last in their life by watching you put Jesus first. And if you are longing for other people in your life to stop putting God last, just start putting Jesus first in your life. And as you put him first, other people will say, okay, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to not keep God in the corner. So dwell on God's bountiful provision and consider how clear a path God has given us into his kingdom, and how clear a path he's given so that we can live for him, that our problems, we can take them to the Lord first, our needs, we can take them to the Lord first, and he will provide what we need. He will sort things out. And Jesus concludes, he makes it very simple. In case people are missing it, verse 34, he just says, "Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus basically says, look, faith takes life one day at a time. Faith takes life one day at a time. His grace will be sufficient for today. Yes, you have to prepare today for tomorrow. There's things you have to do today to be ready for what tomorrow will bring. But tomorrow is not yet here. You can't yet handle the problems that tomorrow might bring. So to worry about things that have not yet happened is not faith. It's not it's worry. God is giving us grace for today to seek his kingdom, and we just leave tomorrow and tomorrow and say, God will be there ahead of me. He'll give me grace tomorrow to seek his kingdom then. So this is basically the summary of this is don't be anxious, live by faith, seek God's kingdom. And final question, you know, just ask yourself, what would my life look like if I pursued the kingdom of God with all that I am today? What if I worried less about tomorrow and pursued God's kingdom with all that I am here and now? We would see much more of God's will being done and his kingdom coming. So the psalmist says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I think that's how we should understand Jesus' instruction to us. So pray with me, and let's ask for God's help in having this kind of faith. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us and that it puts things into focus for us, Father. It reminds us, Lord, the things that are needed for physical life here are going to be provided by you. But it reminds us, Lord, to make sure that we are living for an inheritance in heaven, that we are making sure that we know Jesus as our Savior. And then it challenges us to live for him now, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Father, because we are people of little faith. Would you teach us, Lord, to cast all our cares upon you moment by moment and day by day, that we would live with a greater faith in your provision and live in the joy that comes when we live for your kingdom in the here and now. So help us, Father, to have greater faith in you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.